A pleasant morning to you and YouTube land. We're delighted you tuned in this morning and that we have this opportunity to study the Word of God together. We're mindful of those who are confined to their homes, those who are dealing with illness, and those whose heart are breaking over the grief of the loss of loved ones. You're in our thoughts and in our prayers. You know, there's nothing quite as thrilling in life as what we often call a comeback. You let your team be down by 25 points at the half, and you might feel defeated. But sometimes they'll come out in the second half and make what we might identify a great comeback. And what a thrill it is to see a team come roaring back in the second half. Or you take a boxer and one who's boxed for life, and maybe they say he's washed out. And then he starts training again, and he comes back and wins the title against great odds. And people are thrilled to see this man make a comeback. But oftentimes, we overlook what should be the most thrilling of all comebacks, and that is in regard to spiritual matters. When you look at the Bible, the Word of God, you'll find that we worship and serve the God who deals with comebacks. Now, first, that may sound strange to some, because some labor under the view that one cannot fall away from the grace of God, that one cannot leave the faith. But I beg to differ with that view. Take your New Testament and turn with me to the Galatian letter and the fifth chapter. And in the book of Galatians in the fifth chapter, the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches throughout Galatia, and he's warning them about going back to the old law and trying to keep it for salvation. And Paul says, you're not going to be able to keep the old law. We're no longer under that law. We are in Christ. And notice what he says in verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. Look at this last statement. You have fallen from grace. I believe, my friend, that you can see from the writing of the Apostle Paul that one can fall from grace, that one can depart the faith, that one can leave the teaching of Jesus Christ and go back into the world or go into some religion that God does not authorize. And so at this time, you'll find that here is a statement that is made that we must never forget. But the same Bible that says you can go away from God also reveals that you can come back to God. And that is what is so thrilling. We serve the God of the comeback. Now then, I want us to make note of some in Bible days that they may have went away, but they came back to God. And what a thrill it was to see their comeback. Take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Judges and the 13th chapter. And you'll recall there was a man identified as Manoah. And an angel appeared to that man and said, you're going to have a son. And the angel instructed that man, his son, was to keep the Nazarite vow that a razor was not to touch his head. Now, when you look at the man identified as Samson, the son of Manoah, he was a man of incredible strength. Now, the man in the Bible, the Word of God, had the physical strength of Samson. And you'll recall he killed many of the Philistines, the enemy of God at that particular time. But he did something he ought not have done. He had a weakness. You'll remember, my friend, that he went down and he fell in love with one of the Philistine women. And here they were the enemy of God. And she, by the name of Delilah, continued to try to tell him where the strength lies. Just exactly why is it he was so strong? And you remember she tried time and time again, and yet finally he told her that the day they cut my hair, I'll lose my strength. And you remember they cut his hair, and he lost his strength. Here is Samson. He is eyeless as they put out his eyes. They put him in a prison to grind. And here is a man who had won victory after victory, but because of his defiance to God, because of his lack of faith, because of his sin, he's separated from God. And he's had his hair cut, and he's been made to grind in the prison. But in your Bible, you'll remember in the book of Judges in the 16th chapter, you remember that at this time they brought him in. And here were people that were living in the filth of sin, the Philistines, and they said, we're going to have Samson perform for us. And they mock him and belittle him and laugh at him. Then you'll recall that after that, Samson asked the lad who was leading him around, to put him near two pillars. And there you'll find in verse 28 of Judges 16, a prayer from Samson. And what a powerful prayer. He said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines from my two eyes." Then look at verse 29. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. He braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. He ever thought about that man? He made a comeback. He came back and recognized his failure to serve God, and he prayed unto God. Now, his downfall was he did not keep the secret of God as to where his strength would lie. But I do want you to remember in Hebrews 11:32, this man came back to God, and he's identified as one of the heroes of faith. You ever thought about that comeback? What a thrill that at the end, he was identified as a hero of faith. But then if you take your Bible, I want us to look at another Old Testament example. And this is by a man identified as Manasseh. Now his father was a man of tremendous faith, identified as Hezekiah, one of the best rulers Judah ever had. And yet all that Hezekiah did for God, you'll find Manasseh, his son, tore it down. Look in your Bible in 2 Kings 21. And in 2 Kings 21, in the first 9 verses, you'll find this man did many things against God. You remember that in verse 2, he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. In verse 3, he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised altars for Baal, that false and foreign god. He made a wooden image as Ahab, king of Israel, had done, and he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He's worshipping many gods instead of the one true and living God. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, which the Lord had said in Jerusalem, "I will put my name." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven and the two courts of the house of the Lord. Do you see how perverse this man was? And he also, in verse 6, made his son pass through the fire. Oh, don't pass by that too quickly. He sacrificed his own son to an idol. And notice, my friend, he practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And in verse 7, it continues that he set up a carved image of Asherah. And he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever." And then, if you will, just drop down and look at what it says in verse 9. They paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. If you look at that, he violated almost all the laws of God. Remember that God had commanded the laws, it says in verse 8, and to my servant Moses, and notice, he didn't keep those laws. You look at Manasseh, my friend, and you think, that man's so far gone, there's no way he could make a comeback. That man has totally left, sacrificed his son to a foreign god, to a false god, set up all these altars in the house of God, rebuilt the high places. He sinned after sin after sin against God. But take your Bible and notice with me something in 2 Chronicles 33. Now, if you just read in your Bible 2 Kings 21, you might think Manasseh never came back. But notice what happens in 2 Chronicles 33. In 2 Chronicles 33, notice that the Bible says in verse 12, when Manasseh was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. Notice he's no longer in front of all those false idols. He'd been taken into captivity. But now, notice this man prays to God. And notice God received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now you look at that carefully. I would that I could put that into my heart and your heart, that no far, matter how far one goes, that if one turns around and makes a comeback, God is the God of the comeback, and God gave him the victory. Had he sinned? Oh, greatly, my friend. He had gone into the pit of sin. But notice there, my friend, that this man turned around and made a comeback, and God received him back. And what a beautiful picture. You can see his failures where he listened to bad advice from his advisors, where he made false gods and worshiped them, where he sacrificed his own son to a false god. But he came back, and God took him back. I'll tell you, my friend, the God I believe in, the God I preach, the God I serve, is the God of the comeback. But that brings up another thought. Look at a man known as David. And I know it's on the mind of every Bible student. When he failed, when he went into the pit of iniquity and committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, then tried to lie to cover his sin, and ultimately had her husband Uriah the Hittite put to death when he found out she was with child. David saw Bathsheba was with child, and he said, Uriah can't find this out. I don't want the people to find out. And he tried to cover it up, and the more he tried to cover it up, the worse it got. But you remember, my friend, when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel 12, David made a great statement. David said, I have sinned against the Lord, and David repented. You ever want to read David's repentance? Read Psalm 32 or Psalm 51. What repentant? Oh, man, that's a penitent heart. Where David just cries out to the Lord, wash me and cleanse me, make me whole again. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And what was his downfall? Lust. But you know, my friend, he came back. He had faith enough to turn around and not continue down the path he was going. He came back to God. The God of heaven is the God of the comeback. But now I want us to look at one more example. And I know this is on the mind of all Bible students. Turn to the book of Luke in the 15th chapter. And in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, you find where the prodigal son goes into the far country. But before he goes into the far country, what does he do? He goes to his father and says, Father, give me my inheritance. What an insult to the father. He's saying, you've lived longer than I thought, and I'd rather just go ahead and have my inheritance now. And he goes out, and he lives in the filth of sin. Then the famine came. And what happened when the famine came? That young man found himself in the pig pen. I've often thought about, what if you saw that young man? You might have said to him, I've watched you grow up, and this isn't how you were raised. This isn't how your father brought you up. Why don't you go home? Don't you know your father's heart is breaking and bleeding? And he might have just looked at you and said, get out of my way. I'm going to do my own thing in my own way. I want to do it the way I want to do it. But one thing I find out, that young man came to himself. I like that statement. That young man all of a sudden came to his senses when he's in the pig pen. And he said, I'm going to go home. And what a picture we have before us when that young man arises and he goes back to his father. And the father runs to greet him. In that day and time, Jewish men didn't run. It wasn't dignified. You'd have to lift your robe to run. But the father bore the shame for the son and ran to greet him. And he embraced him and he kissed him and he welcomed him home. And he said, my son which is lost is found. My son which is dead is alive. And they begin to be joyful. What's that a picture of? The God of the comeback. That you can be victorious over sin through the grace of God. I want to take that. I want to make several quick lessons, and the lesson's yours. First, I want us to understand the best thing to do is stay with God and never to go away from God. And I want to warn us not to be associated with the wrong kind of people who will tear down our faith instead of build up our faith. Samson made a great mistake by being around those who tore down his faith and whittled away at his faith until eventually he compromised. The best thing to do, my friend, is to remain loyal and faithful to God and walk with God. That doesn't mean you don't sin. But when you sin, you make it right. And God will receive you back. But my friend, there's some who just go away from God. And I've often thought about how many people listen to wrong advice. And they listen to the world instead of listening to the Word of God. And I tell you, they listen to higher education instead of what the God on high has said. And they allow their lust to consume them instead of allowing God's Word to lead them. And sometimes we become selfish. But I want you to understand, my friend, if you do go away from God, you don't have to stay there. No matter how far you've wandered, no matter how far you've gone, you know what you need to do. Turn around now. Stop doing what you're doing now and come back. Because God is the God of the comeback. I'm grateful to know that God is a God of comebacks, that you may sin. But if you repent and come back, God is willing to forgive you. You name the sin and you truly repent, God will take you back. Now, some need to come to him in the first place and be baptized for the remission of sin. And then there's others who have wandered away. They need to come back. I'm going to say something. I hope I say it in the right way, and I hope it's understood the way I mean for it to say. Sometimes I'll say what I'm going to say and what I mean, and I'll say what I don't mean. I still get misunderstood and misrepresented. But, you know, I think it's time for some to come back to worship. Now, do not misunderstand me. I understand there's some who are high risk and some who have valid fears of the COVID-19 who need to stay home. The only place they go is the grocery store and the doctor. But I'll tell you what bothers me is so many people, it seems, they're going out to restaurants, they're going to ball games, they're going to all of the kinds of functions. And if the only place we social distance from is worship, maybe we're doing it wrong. If we can go everywhere else under the living sun, but we can't go to worship, maybe we need to look at our heart. Now, if you can't come, I understand that completely. And I'll tell you, I'm not the judge. You and the Lord know your heart. But my prayer is that we don't use it as an excuse not to come. I hope we miss not being here if we can't come. And I hope I said that in the right way, because I do not want to be misunderstood or misrepresented. I understand some can't be here, but I'll tell you, my friend, I should want to be here. That brings up one last thought. If some people have left the faith and they come back, if God takes them back, we better take them back. We need to learn to forgive. And if God forgives them, I better forgive them. If not, then I'm out. You know what I need? I need to see the God of heaven as the God of the comeback. And I need to rejoice over that. I need to be thankful that he opens his arm to those who walk away and they return and he's there to accept. If you've wandered away from God, can I ask you, when would be a better time to come back than right now? Would there be a better day? Would there be a better time? Can you name a better time than right now than to turn around and come back to God? Or if you've never been baptized, can you name a better time than right now? You can't say tomorrow because you don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. But while God's arms are extended wide, why don't you come back? Will you pray with me? Our Father, we're so thankful that you're the God of the comeback. We're so thankful, Father, that you receive us when we repent and truly come back to you. We acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge our shortcoming. We acknowledge, Father, we fail against you. But we're so thankful, Father, that you're willing to receive us back when we truly come to you. Father, let our hearts be touched and tender so that we love you and want to please you. And help us each day to walk closer in the footsteps of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.